The Accidental Entrepreneur is produced by Beinhacker Law and brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors. One of One Productions, the New Jersey-based podcast studio that produces and edits both audio and video podcasts. They sell equipment for the average podcaster and have even created a guesting kit exclusively for our listeners. North Authentic, the conscious hair care marketplace offering the cleanest brands from around the world. The Healthy Place, the e-commerce site with thousands of supplements to help you live a healthier life, along with natural solutions for chronic pain, stress, anxiety, depression, sleeplessness, and much, much more. And be sure to support the podcast by ordering some logo merchandise from our online store. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
My dad has been in real estate my entire life, and he had worked for a company called Legacy Education, which is part of the reason I'm on here today. And it, you know, they've had education for Robert Kiyosaki from Rich Dad Poor Dad. Sure. They were his company for many years. Tariq El Moussa was another face. So my dad's been a part of this company since I was 11.
And he was in Ohio at that point?
Yeah, in Ohio. Yep. He would go back and forth, but Ohio,
it was really primarily their vacation home.
Yes,
that you were living
in. I was just staying in it. Yeah,
yeah, of course. Well, you're part of the family, so it's not like
exactly.
You're
that's right. Well, my dad, he had been pushing for, you know, telling me you need to do real estate, you need to do real estate, but I didn't want anything to do with real estate because many of my childhood memories were of us rehabbing properties when all my friends were outside playing.
You didn't appreciate it. You were a kid.
No.
Yeah.
I was not into it. And I saw things from the hard work mentality, you know, of swinging a hammer, doing things yourself. So I just didn't want anything to do with it. But my dad became very successful once he did learn, you know, how to systemize your business and have teams and all that in place, that it did change my life. And I was able to have all those opportunities like Access Hollywood and come to Florida because of the decisions my dad made many years about getting a true financial education, learning and investing in yourself to do that. And he became financially free doing that. So you think I would have got that, but I didn't for many years.
When you're young, you're not like in the mental state to receive it.
Exactly.
If you don't have to look back, but it's very hard at the time to, you know, you're trying to find your way in the world. You don't believe your parents. You're like, oh, come on, dad.
Exactly. You and know? It's like almost like until you have the pain in your own life, you don't really know. And that's where I was at.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode.
Hey everyone, Whitney Chafin here. I'm so excited to be on The Accidental Entrepreneur to share with you all of the things that I've learned through my years of investing, giving back, helping others, and really making my dreams a reality.
All right, Whitney. So thanks for joining me on a Friday. It's cold up in New Jersey, but I'm sure it's warm down in Florida, right?
It is. It's actually extra muggy today. We had a little cold front last week, but it ended yesterday.
It's going to be 60s here on Saturday, so it should be a little bit warmer, but yeah.
Warm front, yep.
It's very humid down. But my wife's from South Florida. I think I told you she's risen from Fort Lauderdale and her brother lives in Boca. So we're down there all the time. But and I have an attorney groups that I'm involved with, and most of them are from Florida.
Very nice. Always,
yeah. Okay. So who introduced us? I always bring this up on my shows. And
Josh, I think it was Josh Carey. Maybe?
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah, right.
I
know Josh from Podmax originally. They don't do that anymore, I don't think. And Eric was his partner with Podmax. So
gotcha. Okay.
But
yep.
Josh's a good guy. Yeah.
Very good guy. Yeah. Super energetic. I love it.
Oh yeah. Crazy energetic. All right. So, you know, we're going to spend like an hour together and I really want to tell your story. We had talked about the investing that you do from an entrepreneurship standpoint, but you also have a, you know, really good story as to what you went through and what you're doing now and all the kind of social
things that you're doing, but maybe you want to go back to, because I don't think you're originally from Florida. Aren't you from like the Midwest?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I was actually born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but okay. I was raised in Ohio. So, where I lived in Ohio was right on the border, very, very close. I mean, you could throw a football from the state line, you know, you're in the other state from where okay. I lived. Right. So, sometimes I say I'm from Pittsburgh, sometimes I say I'm from Ohio, but I was raised in the state of Ohio.
Okay.
At 18 years old, I went to college at Kent State University. I majored sure. in broadcast journalism.
Okay.
Loved it. I did an internship with Access Hollywood while I was in school, and that actually landed me an opportunity to work for the host of Access Hollywood, Kit Hoover. I was actually her nanny and personal assistant for some time after
now,
that.
Was that out in LA or?
Yep. Okay. Yep. So we lived in like Pasadena. Yeah. Pasadena okay. area. So, I did an internship with them and they, you know, offered me a job, but I hadn't graduated from college yet. So I had to actually graduate to be able to actually work for Access Hollywood. So yeah. long story short, I met Kit during my internship and she was at the time needed a nanny because her one nanny that was working for her was moving on and I couldn't do it because I still had to finish school. But a year yeah. later, she reached out and was like, "Hey, I know that, you know, you babysat for Billy Bush while you were here and you've done some other things. Oh, yeah. So I need a nanny." I was like, right. "Okay, I'm there." So I moved right. to LA. I started living with her actually.
Okay. So you became kind of like a personal assistant and yep. take care of the kids and whatever, helping her run her house and her life.
Yep. Pretty much. Okay. And it was a great experience. It was an awesome opportunity. But while I was there in LA, I really learned that that state was just not for me. It's just like, I was so far away from everybody. All my family's on the East Coast. I was there alone at 21 years old. I had no car, no friends. And I was taking care of three kids all day, right, which I absolutely loved, but it's very hard to make friends when you're, you know, being a babysitter all day.
Yeah.
So, long story short on that, I had a kind of a series of unfortunate events that happened from the time I moved there until the time I left. So some of those things were breakups with, you know, an ex-boyfriend. I had family members pass away, but the final straw was I had a best friend from back home who actually died of a drug overdose.
When
that happened in Ohio. Yes.
Yeah.
When that happened, I was in a position where I had nobody to call on. I mean, no friends around. My family was, again, all on the East Coast. So that was kind of my final straw to realize that that area was just not for me. I needed to get out of there. I was in this funk and I was very depressed. So when I had the opportunity to leave, it was either go back to Ohio or I could come to South Florida because my parents actually had a second home here in Florida. And I loved Ohio, but where I grew up, it was a very depressed area. I mean, people using drugs, selling drugs, in and out of prison. It's a regular thing. And I don't want to make it sound like it's terrible because I absolutely love where I come from, but it's very, very hard to grow if you just
stay. Rural area. I lived in Columbus, Ohio for a couple of years. My son goes to Indiana. So when we're driving him out there, you stop in like in the hotels and they're like, "Don't leave your car here because, you know, the crackheads come." I'm like, "What do you mean? We're like in Pennsylvania. There's nobody." And they're like, "Yeah, there's a big problem out here." So I guess depressed areas and so forth, right?
It is, you know, and it gives you some grit in life, I think, because I literally don't know a stranger and I love everybody from all walks of life. And I think it gives you an appreciation, but I always kind of wanted to do more and be in just a happier environment. So I chose to come to Florida and to come to Florida, to get out of LA, I needed a job because I was in a terrible financial spot. I mean, I was living with Kit, which was amazing. She was letting me basically live there rent free and she was paying me, but I had a ton of student loan debt. I had my own expenses and the cost of living in California and Florida was significantly higher than anywhere in Ohio. It was a struggle for me to leave and also feeling like I was giving up my opportunity because one of the deals of working for Kit was eventually she'd help me get a job wherever I wanted in TV or in radio or wherever.
Something, right?
So I basically was giving up and I felt very depressed even then. And
so you were going to not pursue broadcasting at that point.
Exactly. And that's exactly what happened. I just took a complete different turn. And I, you know, for a long time was really unhappy because of that. And I was like, I'm giving up my dream all because of my emotions. Like mental health is very important, but I didn't realize at that time. I felt like something was wrong with me.
It's hard being on the inside looking out versus
100%.
Yeah.
So I took a job at a car dealership, which I had no experience in. I knew nothing about it. No, actually, it was just an administrative assistant job.
Okay.
And it was such a weird thing because I apparently had an application out there that I didn't know about on Indeed or a resume. And I'm in Florida on spring break from Los Angeles, just visiting my mom. And then I was going back to kind of reconcile my things to move out of LA. But I was here in Florida, and I got a phone call while we're driving down Federal Highway in Delray Beach from a manager at the Lincoln car dealership, which was on Federal Highway in Delray Beach, who said, I found your resume on Indeed.com and we need an admin assistant. And I was like, how did you find me? Like, what? This is so weird right to me. I didn't apply for anything. So I went in the dealership. I was in jean shorts and a crop top because I was just
Florida,
on vacation.
Right, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And I told him, and I walked in and they hired me.
And you
me
don't
on the
remember
spot
to this day even posting the resume?
No, no. And that, it's so weird. So yeah, weird. But I met this guy. His name was Manny. And Manny hired me to be the administrative assistant and personal assistant to the owner of the dealership. And I had just been an assistant in LA. So I was learning the ropes of, you know, being right a personal assistant for somebody. But the unique thing about this man is he was completely blind. So I was not only, you know,
what
his
do you mean blind
assistant,
like literally,
like no,
blind?
Yes, no usable vision, and he was running okay a multi-million-dollar dealership.
This was Manny.
And this was Tim, but the Manny owner hired me for Tim. Yes,
got it.
And so, that was a complete change in my life because I had always helped people, but I had never helped anybody with some sort of, you know, disability, special need. Right. Yeah, yeah, or just I had
but
no idea.
But at least
idea
now you're moving back to Florida and you have
exactly
a job, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And I think I was making $13 an hour, which I was so happy with at that time. And I was at the dealership doing my role and I was learning a lot about marketing and we did a lot of events and did a lot of advertising and stuff. So one day the marketing manager got fired and we had this huge event that was happening. This was like 3 months of me working there and nobody knew anything that was going on except for me. So I was basically put in this position to produce and like show what I can do as a marketing coordinator.
Well, event there was, coordinator. So there's an event coming up and they fired the person before
they fired
event
the manager the week of. Yes.
Like what?
Yes.
I mean,
and I was kind
stealing
of,
from the company or something.
I don't even
I mean,
know. It was some argument. I don't even remember what it was about. The guy's name was
Ted. I think
Ted.
You'd wait till
that
the event was over. Right. And then,
right. Yeah, yeah. And they made me do it. So
okay,
the business person that I am pitched
up.
Yes. And I pitched to Tim, the owner of the dealership, listen, hey, let me do this. But if I do it well, I want a raise and I want to make $18 an hour because marketing coordinators nationwide, that's the average. I did my research.
Okay,
I submitted
good
it. And he said, okay. He was like, that, then that's fine. So I did the event. It was very successful. He gave me the raise. And then from that point forward, my role was to be the spokesperson, do their TV commercials and coordinate all of their advertising, marketing, and events. Now, with
what's
that,
an event?
What's
like they have like a big sale and they have one of those out front, the crazy.
Some of that I would be okay in charge of, but the main stuff I did was a lot of the nonprofit grassroots stuff because okay since the owner was blind, he didn't really enjoy print advertising because he's like, I can't see it. I'd much right rather hear an ad on the radio or on TV or do something good in the community because I know what it's like to, you know, have a need. And so yeah we basically started, there's a ton of money when it comes to dealerships that they have to spend for advertising money or they lose it at the end of the year. So I learned about that
from
and I
the
found
manufacturers
out. Exactly. Yeah. They'll send like, you know, you have to spend so much money
like
to
an
get
allowance, right?
Basically. Yeah. And if you don't lose it, you use it. It's kind of like, I forget the word. It's on The Office. I always watch it. The surplus.
Right. It's like government, right? If you have money yes left at the end of the year, they lower your budget for the fund.
Absolutely. And you want to yeah show that you need it. So, yeah, we did all of these like local nonprofit events where they would say, hey, give us a donation and we'll put cars on display or we'll put signage and print and do a radio spot and all that. So when I first started working there, I think we worked with like 6 charities. By the time I left, we were surpassing 55. I think the highest number we got to was 67. And so when we were doing that, I kind of became this like social butterfly of like connecting people who had a need for a donation to the dealership that wanted to give. And I just kind of got this reputation of being the nonprofit girl. But what I also learned during all of that is that all of those nonprofits needed housing in some way, shape, or form. And I had
for
no
the
idea.
People that they served?
Yes. And not maybe not all of them, but
no,
a lot
but
of
some
them
of them. There was that
yes
need.
Yeah. Yep. And so I, while I was doing all that giving back, I was actually nominated by one of the nonprofits, I don't even know who, to compete in the Miss Florida USA pageant because
they just
they
submitted
said,
you.
They did. They were like, you need to compete in this. You do all the things that they look for and they require. You're cute. You know, you're this, you're that, and you need to just have a platform to be able to spread your message. And I'm like, that's cool. But like, I'm not a pageant girl. Like yeah I was a cheerleader and a hip hop dancer, but I'm more like I said, I have more grit. I'm not more like, I mean, I'm feminine, but at the time I didn't feel as feminine
right
to be in a pageant.
That's funny.
And so
and they're like, but you are now because we submitted
yeah
you.
Yes.
Like, great.
And Exactly. So in order to do the Miss Florida pageant, though, you had to qualify. So I actually had to enter a preliminary pageant, win the pageant, and then I could be in Miss Florida.
Yeah, so, you can't just like sign up. Those girls all come from somewhere, right?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, you got to do something preliminary. Yeah. You have to win. You get a title and then you represent that title.
That's the finals is like Miss Florida.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I entered the first pageant of the year. I think this was Halloween when I was nominated. The first pageant was like January 11th or something. And it was Miss Art Deco. And it was like representing the art district of Miami. And
so I just trained from that district. It wasn't from anywhere else.
Right. Just whoever wanted to compete in that pageant in that area, then if you win, you're Miss Art Deco.
Got it.
So I trained. I lost 17 pounds by jumping rope and drinking a gallon of water a day. Right. And green tea. I drank this matcha green tea. This is before matcha was like big. And I lost 17 pounds and I ended up winning the pageant. Not that weight correlates with winning, but I got in really good shape.
That's the healthiest way to do it probably, but you did it.
I did. I took it very seriously. And then from that point, it was like, it just kind of like almost like skyrocketed. Now everything I looked at was like a business opportunity. It was like, more of like spreading my message and wanting to help people. And I still wasn't sure, you know, what the big crescendo was going to be. I just knew that I had a platform. I had a message. I could speak well. I wanted to do something.
Well,
so
people wanted to, because you won, they wanted to seek you out. And
yes. And so my Instagram following went up and people started kind of, you know, following stuff. I got a better reputation with Google. I wrote my own website. I created my own content. I became a blogger. Like I was doing all this little stuff.
On.
Yes. And until I went to Miss Florida and then I didn't win. And so we had.
So that was the next one. There wasn't another one in between.
No. So then I trained from January until July, I think is when the pageant was. And people were projecting me to be in like the top 15, but I actually didn't place. But still, it was a great experience. It was a great way
for
me to
meet everybody.
Yeah. Keep my message going. And then about 6 months after that.
And this is, Whitney, this is what year?
This is in 2015. Yeah, okay, July of 2015. Yes. About 6 months after the pageant, I had this kind of like, and this wasn't 6 months after, it probably started a couple months after, but it was almost like I finally achieved all these things. I had done so much in my life at only 25 years old at the time. I was getting depressed again, almost like, you know, what's next? Because I've already done so much and I already feel like I've done so many things that how can you get, you know, another high when you've already had that, that naturally of like, I don't know, just the emotion. So
yeah,
I was
like
getting
anxiety.
Yeah. I was getting anxiety. I was kind of depressed again. I was hating my job. And then the owner, the blind man, Tim, who I still have a relationship with today, he sold the dealership in September of that year. And when he sold the dealership, that kind of left me on the fence of a job, which the new owner wanted to keep me on, but he did his own TV commercials and he already had a marketing coordinator. So now they wanted to transition me into like sales. And I'm like, I'm not a car salesperson.
Yeah, of course.
So my dad has been in real estate my entire life. And he had worked for a company called Legacy Education, which is part of the reason I'm on here today. And it, you know, they've had education for Robert Kiyosaki from Rich Dad Poor Dad. Sure. They were his company for many years. Tariq Al-Musa was another face. So my dad's been a part of this company since I was 11.
And he was in Ohio at that point?
Yeah, in Ohio. Yep. He would go back and forth, but Ohio,
it was really their vacation home.
Yes.
That you were living
in. I was just staying in it. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Well, you're part of the family. So it's not like
you're that's right. Well, my dad, he had been pushing for, you know, telling me you need to do real estate, you need to do real estate, but I didn't want anything to do with real estate because many of my childhood memories were of us rehabbing properties when all my friends were outside playing
You didn't have good memories. It was like, you know, you didn't appreciate it. You were a kid.
No.
Yeah.
I was not into it. And I saw things from the hard work mentality, you know, of swinging a hammer, doing things yourself. So I just didn't want anything to do with it. But my dad became very successful once he did learn, you know, how to systemize your business and have teams and all that in place, that it did change my life. And I was able to have all those opportunities like Access Hollywood and come to Florida because of the decisions my dad made many years about getting a true financial education, learning and investing in yourself to do that. And he became financially free doing that. So you think I would have got that, but I didn't for many years.
When
until
you're young, you're not like in the mental state to receive it.
Exactly.
You know,
if you don't
have to look back, but it's very hard at the time to you know, you're trying to find your way in the world. You don't believe your parents. You're like, oh, come on, dad.
Exactly. You and know? It's like yeah. almost like until you have the pain in your own life, you don't really know. And that's where I was at is I was now missing so many birthday parties and things just with friends because I was working nonstop and I wasn't seeing my paycheck increase. I was still making what, 40,000 a year, I think.
Right.
And I was just,
you didn't have an entrepreneurial job. You didn't have control of that stuff.
Yep. Somebody,
you know,
so I believe everything happens for a reason.
What kind of real estate was your dad in? Was he, was it like
everything? I mean, he does multifamily, flipping, commercial, land development, mobile homes.
So he had a full service construction company.
Yep. Does it all pretty much. Yeah. And he's on the
investment side. Real estate too that he rents out. Yep. He has a portfolio. Okay.
Yep. So he has a whole portfolio. Yep. Does private money lending, hard money lending. He does it all.
Everything.
And yep. And he's got teams of people. So,
and this is in Ohio though.
Mostly. I mean, he's done deals all over the US, but Ohio is their primary.
Predominantly. Okay.
Yeah. Headquarter type thing.
Yeah.
But in February of that year, February of 2016, excuse me, we were the company I now work for, Legacy Education, and who my dad had worked for, was hosting a seminar in Miami. And they host seminars all over the country. And this was a free seminar. Come to our free workshop, learn about what we do. Well, my dad messaged me and said, Whitney, there's a workshop in Miami. You need to go. If you're unhappy at your job, you're sick of this, it's time that
you. And this is all in the real estate business, right? That's what Legacy does? Okay.
Yes. It's all real estate, financial markets. Now we're getting into some of the crypto stuff, but it's always historically been real estate and financial markets.
Cash flow type of thing.
Yes.
Investments.
Yep.
Okay.
So I go to this free seminar and I meet a woman there and my dad had been like talking to her through the years, just saying like, we need to get Whitney ready because she needs to be an investor. She needs to do this. You know, she has the gift to do it. She just needs to do it and learn it. So I go to this free seminar and following the free seminar, they ended up having a 3-day training the following week. And that at a 3-day training is where you really do learn more of the stuff.
Yeah,
that
the other one's just a teaser like, hey, check us out, please. Of course.
Yep. Then you pay a tuition, you go to the 3-day training. And then even from the 3-day training, they have advanced education. And that is what my dad's a product of. He went on and had like a mentorship and all that stuff.
Okay.
I, at the time, couldn't afford to do any sort of advanced training. So I went to a 3-day training. I got my nuggets that I felt like I could use. And then because my dad works for Legacy, almost like if your parent works for a university, they actually had a discounted program for children of the trainers, basically, because my dad's a trainer for them. So I was able to take some classes. I did that online. And within 3 months of going to that seminar, I did my very first deal. And that deal was a wholesale deal. I wholesaled a property in West Virginia and I made about $3,000 doing that. But that deal took me like a couple hours to do it. And I made more money doing that than I was making at my job.
Well, of course.
Here's a word from our sponsors. Looking to get into podcasting? Maybe to market your business for your own enjoyment or because you have a message you want to get out there. One of One Productions is a New Jersey-based studio just over the George Washington Bridge that caters to the booming business of podcasting. They offer a comfortable atmosphere using the latest technology available to record your podcast. And they are a full-service media company offering both audio and video production services, creating both audio and video podcasts, as well as video shorts for business and personal use. Professional audio equipment packages are available through their website for all budgets, and be sure to check out their podcast guesting kit, created specially for our listeners. Care for your health. Care for the planet, and look flippin' great doing it. North Authentic is a conscious hair care marketplace offering the cleanest brands from around the world. Their pro stylists curate only the most fabulous non-toxic hair products with better-for-you shampoos, serums, masks, and more that actually give you gorgeous hair without hurting your health or the planet. Hey, you've only got one life, one planet, and one glorious mane. Might as well treat them all as best you can, right? Try a 100% clean hair care routine prescribed just for you using their link in the show notes. If you don't see a big, beautiful difference in how your hair looks and feels, you can tell them they're crazy. Do you battle chronic pain, stress, anxiety, or depression? Well, if you take any supplements or you're interested in natural alternatives, you need to know about findyourhealthyplace.com. Find Your Healthy Place has thousands of supplements to help you live a better quality of life, as well as natural solutions for chronic pain, stress, anxiety, depression, sleeplessness, and much, much more. Need guidance? Use their live chat feature and talk to a wellness consultant right on their website. And be sure to use our coupon code TAEPODCAST for all your purchases to get the best prices at findyourhealthyplace.com. Follow their links in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
Now, for those people listening, let's explain to them what wholesaling is. You're basically selling the contract for the purchase of the real estate. You don't take possession of the property. You don't. That's why it's a very quick transaction. Yes. And they're hard deals to find, but you find one, you make some money and you move on. So
absolutely. And I didn't even know what I was doing at the time. I mean, I made an offer on a property on Facebook that I found in an area that I knew, but I had no intentions of buying it because I didn't have any money. I didn't really know what I was doing. And I'm like, my dad kind of guided me along the way because he saw that I was taking action on it. But that was my first deal. Okay. And then I learned a lot about creative financing. I learned a lot about income properties like multifamily. And so this is where the weird stuff kind of happened. So in August of 2016, I was walking into the post office and I made a wrong turn that day. And I walked into the post office and as I'm walking in, I get stopped by this guy and he's like, "Hey, I'm so sorry. This is really weird to do, but I feel like an energy and I need to just ask you, can I take you to lunch?" And I was like, "This is really weird.
This in Florida?"
This is in Florida. Yeah.
Well, and I'm like, "Are you live in Florida? You got to be careful."
You do. You got to be careful. And I go inside and I even ask the guy in the post office. I told the guy that asked me the question, "I'll be right back." I go inside and I ask the guy at the post office. I was like, "The guy outside just asked me to go to lunch. Like, is he okay? Am I going to get like killed?"
Did he seem like he was a little off?
I mean, no, but it was just awkward to me.
No, like, I understand. Especially you're a young girl and you're like, "Yeah, I'm going to walk away with this guy. He's going to murder me in a park." Yeah,
and I'm a Steelers fan. He was wearing like a Ravens shirt. And I'm like, okay, that's a little bit of a rival. Like, I don't know. So anyway, I go inside. I asked the guy at the post office, "Is this guy okay?" And he said, "Yeah, he's totally fine. Great guy. You should definitely go to lunch with him." So long story short, we get to talking and he's actually in recovery, drug and alcohol recovery. And he had been 2.5 years sober at the time, I think, something like that. And he was in the process of getting ready to open up a sober home and knew nothing about real estate. All he knew was drug and alcohol treatment. He understood the process, understood what people go through and how there is a severe need for safe housing for people when they're getting out of treatment so that they don't go back to what got them there in the first place.
This is like a halfway house. You're coming out of treatment and you need somewhere to go. You don't want to just go move an apartment alone. You're going to relapse. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. You want to be in a safe community house type thing. Sure. So he knew nothing about real estate, but I did. So basically a couple weeks later, we get into this deal and we buy this property in Delray Beach, Florida that ended up housing 12 men in drug and alcohol recovery. And that property ended up cash flowing a significant amount of money. And it became the first part of a recovery home that I got to experience. And I got
furnish
it.
You were part owner in the property. Yes. Where was the cash flow coming from? The guys who were moving in would pay?
Yes. So everybody had like a rent, you know, they had to pay like a room rental fee.
Basically.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
And a lot of it depends how you're legally structured. So I don't want to say too much about how you make money only because I don't want anyone to hear this and think that's exactly how it's going to be because state to state, it's different.
It varies. Yep.
You know, whether you have a corporation, an LLC, whether you're a nonprofit, but
there's rooming house rules that are different than tenancy rules. Every state's different.
Exactly. Sure. There's certification processes to go through, but essentially everybody had a room rate that they paid. And then we were able to use that to continue to fund the business and all of that. So that was where I was like, oh my gosh, everything I had worked for has come full circle. Now I understand my mission of giving back. And that's not even the end of it. That's just one piece. So when that happened, Legacy at that time actually wanted me to come work for them because I was basically doing what they teach people how to do. So I started, So now I was able to start working for them. I quit my job already at the dealership and they were paying me to go on the road and travel and also learning how to invest. So I'm getting educated. I'm working, I'm, you know, managing this property when I get home from the road, cause we were traveling all over the country. And in May, so we're fast forwarding now in May of 2018. So I'd been working for Legacy this whole time. They asked me to start speaking for them and start sharing my story nationwide. And so now
have these like free seminars and that kind of stuff. Platform. Yep. You're in the main platform. Okay.
Yes. And so it took me from 2012-ish to 2018 to finally see why I went to school for journalism. And that was to be able to be a professional speaker and share that story. And so I spoke from 2018 to till still today, but 2020 when COVID happened, I've kind of stopped. Since then I had a baby. I'm now a stay-at-home mom. I have a 4-month-old. Thank
you. 4 months? A 4-month-old?
4-month-old.
My youngest is 16.
Oh, wow.
And I'm exhausted.
I'm sure. I hear it flies.
You're more exhausted than me right now.
I am actually. I'm very tired. Very tired. But it's so worth it. And that's all I really ever wanted.
You know.
It is. Yeah.
So she's your first.
He's my first. Okay. Yep. Yep. Had him August 6th. And then, So, I mean, that's kind of my story. Along the way, I've been able to give back, you know, in a bigger way than I've ever thought that I could, because now with all the monetary gain I've been able to have through all of that, I was able to actually give that back. And that's something I always wanted to do, that I said that if I ever make it, I don't know if we ever really make it, but if I ever get to a position where I could give back financially, that's what I wanted to do. And through all of that, there was one nonprofit that really spoke to me, and that nonprofit, their name is Place of Hope. And what they actually do is they house children who are aging out of foster care. And if you're, you know, 18 years old in the system, depending on where you live, you could age out if you're not adopted.
Right.
Yep. And if you've got little brothers and sisters still in foster care, you either have to take responsibility for them if they're not yet adopted, or you could be separated if they do get adopted and you're 18 and you're out of the system. So Place of Hope basically takes all the kids in and puts a roof over their heads so that no one gets separated. And
so you take,
I really love that.
The kid who's becoming coming of age, right?
Yep.
Plus his or her siblings.
Yeah, they would do that. Yes, the nonprofit would. Or, and they would even go a step further and take in neglected children or children who have been abused in any way. And they put them on this campus that's beautiful. I mean, it's all built for them, and they build libraries and community rooms and all these different things. And so I wanted to somehow give back
like
to
a private academy, almost like
basically a whole campus. Yep. And, you know, for a long time, I was just a volunteer. I would just go to the events. I would help them set up. But in April of 2019, I was able to give them $25,000 that they took and built a library with, and they named the library after me and my family.
Nice.
And that was probably the,
is the it the Whitney Library or the Chafin Library?
It's called the Whitney Chafin. And then I put Chafin Family because I wanted it after my dad too. Yeah. Nice. So the Whitney Chafin and Chafin Family, community room and library or something like that. Yeah. Long name.
So let's talk. I mean, I want to get more into some of that stuff because I think it's all great.
Sure. Thanks.
But so how do you make your living now? So you kind of have a portfolio career a little bit, right? You're working, you're still working for Legacy?
Yes, I'm still working for Legacy. I'm what they call their brand ambassador. So now I kind of do what we're doing now. You know, I spread their awareness of what they do. If I do a speaking event, I'm paid to do those events as well. I do have investments.
You do independent speaking events, like not just as Legacy or mostly as Legacy?
I do, but if it's usually related to Legacy, it's usually on their behalf. If somebody else, you know, wants me to do a speaking thing and it's not a conflict with what they do, I can totally do that. If there's nonprofit work, that's totally fine as well. But most of my speaking is for them because my mission is what's called housing for social good. So I spread how to house people, whether it's homeless veterans, children in foster care, men coming out of prison, which is my newest specialty. That is kind of what I do across the nation, is I spread that. So that's an income. I'm also a licensed real estate agent. So
you're an agent. Okay. Plus you're in the real estate investment business.
Yes.
Still.
Yep. Yep. And I do a little bit with crypto. My brother and I have like a mining thing that we do. So, make money there. And my,
another episode on crypto. I'm trying to figure all that.
Oh, there we go. There we go. My fiance also is a general contractor. So he builds new construction homes on the water here. So,
that's not the guy you met coming out of the post office, right?
It's not. No, it's not him. No.
You still partners with him? You still own that house?
No, we don't have that house anymore because what happened is, you know, for every good guy doing it, there's several bad guys as well.
Of course.
And especially when you're dealing with a vulnerable population, like drug and alcohol recovery.
Take advantage of, sure.
Yes. So in Delray Beach in, I think it was actually 2018, they put a moratorium where you could no longer have any more sober homes in the city. And any home that already existed, they had these rules that you can't have more than three unrelated people under one roof.
They changed the group housing rules.
Yes. So our five-bedroom house that, you know, could at least have five people was no longer allowed to have five people. You could only have three or 12 people is what we were allowed to have previously. So, it changed a lot. We ended up moving out of there. And then my mission has shifted to incarceration. So people coming out of prison who need a safe place, that's kind of what we're doing right now.
Yeah. Those are traditionally halfway houses, right? You come out of prison and you need to be reassimilated into society and something like that.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So you think you just kind of fell into that like by accident and kind of,
No, I mean, I truly think everything happens for a reason. And I don't
mean that. I agree. Oh, okay. I agree with that. But I'm saying it wasn't like it was always in your heart to like help people in that regard. You kind of met this guy. You really didn't know about this. You learned about it then. And now you've been doing it ever since. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. It wasn't something I had pre-planned or anything. I just knew that there was something that population specifically had always spoke to me because I had friends and family members who died of overdoses,
friends
and family members in and out of prison. I mean, I knew the prison system, from somebody giving money to an inmate. Like I knew all of that because I used to do that. I used to send my cousin money and send friends money and write them letters. And I just knew the whole thing. So it was really cool to be able to pair the two. Not planning to do so, just kind of happened.
Well, so now you do know the prison system and you're helping. Now you're not women right now. It's focused on men.
So men and women doesn't really matter, but we try not to put them in the same house. So, right now I'm on the Lake Worth Reentry Housing Committee. So we just right now are kind of in planning stages of deciding where homes should be. And, where the safest place is, because the biggest thing is you don't want to put these houses in a bad area because then it just puts people right back in the environment that put them there in the first place. And the mission is to end recidivism, which is people getting out of prison and going right back in the first 3 years.
Relapse. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. And, but I'm sure you run into problems though. There's communities that don't want those houses.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. And that's really where education comes in, and not to sell education on this podcast or anything, but that's why we teach it, because anybody could try and open a house and do it, but you're going to get some experience that way. That's great, but it's sometimes more difficult to reinvent the wheel when there is a system to doing it. There's certain things to look for. One nugget right now is don't do it in an HOA community unless you're a nonprofit. If you're a nonprofit, you have things you can, get around, but if you're not, you're a business, there are some restrictions. They can, discriminate in their own way to not have you there.
Got it. And that's specific to Florida though, right?
For the most part, but what we teach in terms of like the social good and the housing side of it is all 50 states. So you can do it anywhere. It's just a matter of knowing the rules and laws in those areas. And even if you find a city that doesn't permit it, there usually is a city that does. It's just knowing where in that area.
Got it.
Yeah.
Now that's not what Legacy does, right? Legacy is a real estate investing educational company.
Correct. So they teach everything.
Broad-based. Yeah.
Yes. This is one subject that I happen to have a specialty in, but I mean, we teach tax liens and deeds, discount notes,
everything.
Land development, wholesaling, flipping, multifamily, commercial, short sales, foreclosures, everything. Yeah. Real estate.
Have you done some of those or not?
Yes,
really?
I have, but my real specialty is recovery and flipping because dad has been a part of flips forever. And, he's flipped, I don't even know how many homes. And then now my fiance being in it, we're doing a lot of demo and new construction and flipping essentially, but it's mostly spec homes. More so than
where you're really building
distress.
That from, you're rehabbing them or you're building them from scratch?
Both. But the most recent one is a 3.5 acre lot or something like that in Florida where we can build 3 new spec homes and it needs demoed. So it has a house on it and that we'd have to
one house.
Demo and all of that stuff. Yeah.
Now, has Josh introduced to any of these real estate guys that he knows?
Not really.
He hasn't introduced you to what's Mike's last name? And Mike introduced me to Tyler Jensen. Have you heard of Tyler? He's a flipper.
No,
he's probably
I know that name.
10 years younger than you.
Okay.
Yeah, he did like a 7-day flip where they took.
What?
Yeah. They had, he's got a company too. So he has the whole crew and everything. And they had it.
Sure.
It wasn't that he didn't flip it in 7 days. He took possession, rehabbed the house, and it was back on the market in 7 days. But I think they had a contract in like a week. And it was like 3 or 4 side by sides. I mean, they did them all.
Wow.
Yeah, he's into all that.
That's
stuff.
Really cool.
Tyler
That's
Jensen,
really cool.
Utah Homes, I think. So he's been on the
very podcast. Cool. Oh, I love that. Okay. I'm gonna have to look him up.
And I gotta think of Mike's name. Mike's gonna kill me because I can't think of his last name. But I'll tell Josh he's got to connect you with
For sure.
Real estate because they're all looking to give back too. They've
of course
done well and they like to help each other, right in the business. Real estate people are always looking to do that.
But, oh yeah.
When you can add a give back type of thing. Because after a while, it's like you said, you know, how many deals can you do? How much money can you make if you're paying your bills and you're living a good life and you have choices? It's really a first world problem, right?
So, it is. Yeah.
And if you can really help people and you have the, what's the word? Not the, yeah, the wherewithal, but also the vision.
Yeah.
And the what goes on in the world. Some of these guys don't know it. And you got to kind of connect. There's also a woman I want to connect you to. Her name is Amy. What's Amy's last name? Amy Mallon. Now she runs a website that, believe it or not, is like a search engine. And if you use her search engine, money gets donated from like big, big companies, Target, whatever, Best Buy, to charities. She's a big charity person. So
love that.
She was originally from South Florida. She's been involved with trafficking. She had a lot of problems when she was younger and rose out of it, went to New York with nothing on her back. And now she's doing a lot of stuff out of LA with, she pairs like celebrities with charities to do events, to raise money. Yeah, all that type of stuff.
Wow. So, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I definitely want to connect with her. That's cool. Connect with her.
All right. So tell us, as we're running out of time here, tell us what's in the future for you. What are you working on now? What are you doing next?
Right now. So my biggest mission right now is being a mom, obviously, but, and I'm planning a wedding too. So I have a lot of like personal stuff going on, In terms of business, I really want to start Whitney's Place, which is my own recovery, you know, home or business, I guess you could say, because right when COVID happened, I had a property under contract that I ended up having to back out of because the numbers didn't make sense. And I think that's one of the biggest things I've learned through the years is that you can't get emotional with real estate. And I've done it.
It doesn't meet
times.
Your formula. Don't do it.
You can't do it. And you know, it was going to meet the formula originally. And then after, you know, we got to the very end of the process of financing, basically it was going to be a difference of like 80 grand that I was going to have to come out of pocket. And I'm like, have that, you know, and it doesn't make sense. It's not a good business decision. So it was, I want to say like the day of expiration and I had to back out. And, that also, I think contributed to some of the blues or depression that I felt at that time, because it was like something that I desperately wanted. And I finally felt like I had done all the right things to get there. And then I backed out, but I'm glad I did, because when COVID happened, they weren't releasing people from prison. They were kind of like stuck in. So I wouldn't have even had anybody in the house. I would have been paying a $3,000 mortgage with no income and no people.
Right.
So it was a good decision at the time. And I think I just beat myself up about it a lot, because I'm like, this is what I worked for so hard and that's what I wanted. So now my mission is to get a place for Whitney's Place that will house the people coming out, because now there is an even bigger need for people needing a second chance, especially within Florida. The pricing of housing is insane. I mean, their rents are going up 30%. Price per square foot is nearing the $3,000 and $4,000 per square foot from Miami up. So it's like very difficult to find a place to live that's safe and that is affordable. So that's my mission. That's kind of what I'm working towards, is doing that. And while also kind of helping my fiance continue with his new construction stuff. So, you know, I'm not sure.
How can people learn about you, interact with you, find you?
So Instagram's probably the best place. Whit Chafin, it's WHITCHAFFIN. That's just probably the easiest way to reach me. But I also email, phone number. I mean, I'm like an open book. My email address, I don't know if you're going to have a link or something.
We'll
that
have
might
show notes. We'll
easier.
Put it in the show notes.
Okay. So we can put it there. But that's probably the best way to reach me. I'm not on Instagram as much anymore intentionally. I know I should be there for business, but having a baby really makes you want to live in the present. And all this virtual world stuff that's happening is scaring the daylights out of me. So I'm trying to not get into the trap of living in this metaverse. I want to stay in the present as much as I possibly can while my baby's little.
Yeah. Well, I wish you luck, because I've been through three kids.
Thank you.
I remember not sleeping for years. So
that's what I hear. Fortunately, I mean, he sleeps from 9 p.m. till 9 a.m. I cannot complain on that.
Well, you cannot complain at all.
No, he's amazing.
My son screamed every 3 hours for the first 6 months of his life. The girls were rough. Like, you know, could probably take care of themselves if we left the house. But he was he had a lot of issues when he was a little baby. But I wish you luck. And I'd like to stay
in touch
and follow and see what's happening with the property when you find one down in Florida. And you know, good luck with everything. And I thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely. I really appreciate the opportunity. And I hope that somebody out there, if they have a, you know, vision or mission to do good in the world, just know that it all comes back to you tenfold. Everything you give to the world, it truly comes back.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.